Hello, everyone. Welcome to the second episode of Opinions and Other Facts. We have a special guest, one of my very favorite people, a prime big star Utah comedian. Eileen Dobbins is here.
Thanks, Garrett. Thanks, yeah. Big time.
Hey. In here.
Which, I did a show for five people last week.
Was that Ogden show?
Yeah.
But those five people... Now they're going to tell five people.
That's right.
And then they'll tell five people.
That's what I look for is a pyramid scheme.
We need an MLM of comedy.
Also, Sarah is here.
Yes, I am.
And so the three of us are this show today.
I want to put this out there in case some of you are wondering if Sarah is hot. Sarah is hot.
Swish.
So now you know.
There you go.
I have no comments.
Sarah, how would you rate your hotness? I mean, that's what everybody's here to listen to.
I don't know. Super. Super hot.
Yes.
I'm so humble.
Yes. We have succeeded. There's something else that somebody that listened to the show, I was going to do a callback on. But the real callback we have to have is the Doctor Strange is an alligator from the dungeon crawl.
Uh-huh.
That's maybe my favorite thing that anyone said in a long time.
I stand by it.
That's good.
He is an alligator, and it's a huge conspiracy.
So we, Eileen, because you weren't at the dungeon crawl, Monk and Mike, Sarah's husband, and myself, and Sarah, we did a little show for the TNT show, which you're familiar with because you hosted.
Yes, I'm a fan.
And we were talking about how we were doing possibly future spoilers for movies that hadn't come out yet. And we're like, hey, we look like insiders in the movie industry. So we could just make wild statements. And that's when Sarah dropped Dr. Strange's an alligator.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is. I like it.
It also ties into the lizard people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it
that
just
live
so neatly.
In the center of the earth and control everything.
Right. Mm. It's circular.
Which is totally true. Circular. I believe this fully with all of my heart.
So when you see the trailer, if you go to see Civil War, which I highly recommend, when you watch the Doctor Strange trailer that's beforehand, look for alligator-type tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's there or it's not there. I'm saying keep your eye out for it.
Keep an eye out, because it's going to happen. They're going to drop a bomb.
That's the big twist. All right, so while I'm choking on water...
I hate that.
I do too. It's like, I know how to breathe and I know how to drink, but apparently no.
How do you choke on water?
I've been biting my lip. Yeah, you extricate it. Yeah. I've been biting the inside of my mouth a lot lately, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
There's no good reason scientifically for you to bite the inside of your mouth.
Yeah, because,
right, did your cheeks grow overnight?
Yeah. Like, did your teeth, did your jaw get wider?
Right. Another conspiracy.
Yes.
While we're sleeping, our jaws are being expanded.
It's true.
Man, you know what it is? It's the hormones in milk.
It's turning us into, alligators.
Yes.
With wide jaws.
I think that it might be the rays from your cell phone.
Oh.
Because people sleep with their cell phones next to their bed.
Right.
And they emit rays, which make your jaws widen.
Guys, obviously, it's the shots.
Yes. Well, right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's the vaccination.
That's what starts you. Yeah. You need that to start it.
Yeah.
And then once you start it, let's...
So Doctor Strange really is a pointed documentary on how we're being turned into lizards by our environment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My mom would buy into that. She didn't have us vaccinated. Sally's that kind of a lady.
Oh.
That kind of a mom.
That's unfortunate.
But you're still okay.
We survived. We just killed dozens of people with our needles.
We're fine. Everybody else.
That was use it for your vengeance. Be like, I hate you. I'm going to lick your face.
Well, that was a good first segment. I like it.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theory.
I think that should be an official segment called Doctor Strange is an Alligator that we have now on.
Okay. I like it.
So, you two are just smart, funny people that I really like, and so I'm happy to get you both in a spot where I can talk about some of the things that probably don't get talked about a lot in this type of environment. You know, Utah has a pretty good geek scene, as it were.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's really still the platform to talk about some of the things that affects ladies specifically. And I was talking to Sarah about the show beforehand. And we have a visitor in our studio. Studio visitor. This is I gotta tell you guys, this is our wonderful, illustrious studio. It gets a lot of foot traffic. It's just a very popular location. So, sometimes people walk through. But anyhow, so I just think that this is a good opportunity to kind of talk about a few things. And if you enjoy being on the show,
yeah,
maybe we can make this and expand this a bit to more things. Because I think there's a lot of things that we could talk about like this. And
I love talking about things.
I also enjoy things and sometimes stuff.
I think we're covered.
Products.
Are you even interested in Civil War, by the way?
I'm interested. I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen it yet. Okay.
I'm going to wait until the theaters aren't quite so crowded because I hate people.
I get it. We saw it last night.
Mm-hmm.
And
there weren't a lot of people, but the people that were there decided to sit directly right behind us.
Oh, yeah. Why?
And then put their like feet like up on the chairs that we were occupying.
No.
I was like, this is not okay.
Yeah.
Why do people think that's okay?
I don't get it. But they just weren't concerned with anybody else but themselves.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah.
I was unimpressed. Yeah.
I would rather sit in the worst seats in the theater than directly in front or behind
someone. Exactly.
We'll sit sometimes on those like weird little two seat on the side where it's like not a great seat, but I'm like, no one's going to sit by me.
Nobody's going to mess with you. Yeah. And we were, it was funny because when we came in, there was a group sitting in that front row that we went to sit in. And I'm like, Mike, go down there and sit next to them for a second. Mike half committed, but he didn't want to fully commit because he really didn't want to aggravate those young people.
Sure. That's a mature way to react.
He's mature.
But then it happened to us.
Yeah. And then,
for real.
Then people basically sat on our shoulders.
It was your fault.
I put in the bad karma.
Yeah.
I did. It's me. You're right. I did it. So we'll save Civil War, but maybe after you see it.
Mm-hmm.
We probably are going to talk about it anyway.
I love talking. I've been avoiding people talking about it all week.
Yeah,
as you can imagine.
We won't as well.
You just avoid people talking because I don't like them making noises at me.
That's the nice thing is this is mostly one way. Not that we don't love the people listening, but...
I'm glad that the microphone can't pick up my awful face.
Facial expressions. okay, so I want to start with I want to talk about fandom, especially with how big the media has gotten for things. It not just, it used to be there were certain things that could get big media, but now everything can blow up. It's TV series and web series and viral things and movies and board games. Everything has taken off. So that the positive thing is that it allows for everybody to kind of embrace their fandom. It doesn't have to be so secretive. At least that's what I think. Maybe that's not true. Maybe in your guys' experiences, that's not the case.
I think there's... I guess a wider platform for people to be vocal about the things they love. Just, I think the internet has made it possible for you to find people who relate to essentially anything that you're into.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes, safety in numbers. I guess people feel more comfortable talking about the things that they're enthusiastic about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like Dungeons and Dragons. 20 years ago, no one was like, hey, so... I'm really into Dungeons and Dragons. It's my favorite thing. Yeah. Like, that's not something you said in mixed company.
Yeah. If you didn't know.
It's true. It was something you did
not
tell people.
I make the joke that Dungeons and Dragons are like drugs. Like, you have to know someone to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you didn't talk about it with anyone except the people who you know are into it.
Yep.
Like Fight Club?
Yep. Yes, exactly.
Dungeons and Dragons was, in my youth, my parents initially when I was younger didn't let me do much of, I mean, they weren't super restrictive. I think that when I talk about what it is, you'd be like, I'll show you restrictive. But, you know, like they turned off MTV in our cable package. They saw me watching Yo MTV Raps one night, and so they just cut it. And so there was no, I wouldn't bring Dungeons and Dragons in the house. You know, my mom sometimes would be like, oh, there's demon things happening in here. Like, and it was uncanny because it would be when I had brought home like a, you know, like a gaming magazine or something weird. And she'd be like,
that's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it was a little creepy.
Do you think your mom just knew that you were doing that and she timed stuff just right?
Both of those things are likely. It's just as likely that she just had a premonition because sometimes just weird things happen, or that she just knew it's about time for me to start fleshing them out. Mm. Let's just do that. So, as a kid, if I ever did it, we had to we did it in secret. Like, okay, we're going to get together and we're going to play role-playing. Any kind of, yeah. It didn't matter if it was superhero or if it was just a role-playing game was a scary word. You know, you couldn't just talk openly.
That's so, because I grew up in a totally different house where I used to read the Dungeon Master book to go to bed. Oh. And I used to read the Monster Manual. Oh. And like pick out my favorites and draw little dungeons.
Oh, see.
That's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
I'm like, I really like beholders. They're so pretty.
You dress up as a beholder for like your great costume.
Why are you a tentacle and one-eyed creature? Oh, it's the beholder.
It's the best thing ever.
So that is a good point. That stuff like that has become very mainstream, and you can talk about it, and you can experience it, and you'll have a group of people that experience it with you. And now the people that are anti it are more the side crazy people than it was before, where it got flipped around.
But do you think that's because like who we surround ourselves with, like in Utah, or
like that probably has a lot to do with it?
Yeah, well, because I know like the culture in Utah seems to be more like accepting of it. Like there's board game nights at like bars and stuff. Yeah.
Right.
But it's come a long
way. Ooh. But I don't know if that's like the culture in Utah where it just feels like okay to like be more openly geeky, or like because our circle of friends is also geeky that I like it just bleeds into my like everyday life that I'm like, it's okay.
It definitely was less accepting in Montana. Like people were less accepting of nerdy things.
But yes.
Rural communities are the exception. Rural communities are always 20 years behind everyone else in terms of what's popular, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And,
You know, as a kid, I spent a lot of time in Maryland as a youth, and I would go to the tobacco store where they sold cigars, and he would sell cards, and they would talk about geeky things, some stuff that I didn't even know about when I was a kid. It always made me think, oh, yeah, this is a pretty cool place where they're open about a kid being in a cigar store. The fact that I would just go to the cigar shop all the time and buy baseball cards was pretty unique in and of itself, but it was a simpler time.
It sounds like a really cool shop.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. It was
so little kids and cigars and baseball cards.
My two favorite things.
Yes.
You'd go in and it would just be the smell of cigars, which, if you've been around cigars, is a pretty intoxicating smell. I mean,
it's pretty
it has
nice.
Something to
until
it.
Until they're lit.
Right, and then it turns into...
Then you just want to leave.
Yeah. And my uncle wouldn't smoke them. He'd just chew on the filter, and he liked the smell, and the chew on the filter usually had some kind of brandy-ish type of flavor. So he would just chew on the filter and keep them around. And so I liked the smell. And then I just had this... I've always been a collector of things. I've had to narrow it in my life because you can't afford to collect everything. But just to go to the tobacco shop every week with allowance and then just collect some baseball cards, I still have at my parents' house just books of sets of full football cards from the 90s and, you know, early 90s into the 2000s. Utah is a budding geekdom place, I think. I mean, I don't know where it sits on the range of all of the places.
Well, just, like, looking at, like, how popular our Comic-Cons have been, like, with just starting, like, I think that's a pretty good indicator that it's a pretty, like, friendly community.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was like a closet geek when I was little, so I didn't talk about stuff.
I just kept... we don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right, right.
I liked nerdy stuff, but I didn't talk about it with kids at school because...
Yeah, because it could turn out all bad.
Exactly. Yeah. There were like some weird kids at school that were kind of geeky, and I was like, I'm just going to read the Dungeon Master book at my bed where it's safe.
So we work with someone, I'm not going to say his name, but he came over to my desk and he said, what, are you to collect toys now? Because he looked at the pop figures. He's like, are you five? You collect toys now? And I'm like, okay, Adam. Yes, I do. Anytime you find some Barbies, bring them over. So those were the kind of people that I knew as a kid.
Exactly.
That's the conversations you'd have, you know, with normal people about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Normal people, I say with quote fingers.
Well, and those are the people who just hate on things, right? I feel like more than ever, we just have a surplus of people who hate on things. Like, oh,
I agree.
There's something you love? Well, let me tell you why it's terrible.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree.
Why? What are you getting out of telling me the things I love are terrible?
I don't know. I don't know. The prevalence of that between the mansplaining,
oh God.
Which I have to say to myself every day, did I do that?
Did you start any sentences with "well, actually"?
Oh God, no.
Well, I think you're probably okay then.
Between that and just the whole just trying to tear things down, I think what we've got is we've got a bunch of miserable people that normally would be quiet, but because they've got a platform to just shoot off their misery, that we get that a bit more. But what kind of things are you guys fans of, just in general?
I really like role-playing games, like video games and D&D. I also really like Harry Potter. Like, super into Harry Potter. I have a tattoo. I'm so into it. Just comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, fantasy books, comic books, video games.
Those are like the classic.
I know. Right. I'm like an OG nerd.
I like this.
Eileen, now, before you start, I will say the three of us all very much like Skyrim, which I think is why we get along so well.
I love Skyrim.
The three of us have probably put in a whole lot of
I think
of
we should probably have a Skyrim episode with the three of us. And we can, like, discuss
I agree.
Things at
That's
length.
A very good this. Idea.
I love this
yeah.
idea.
Yeah, it's a very good idea.
I'm less of a classic nerd. Because I discovered many of these things later in life. Because they weren't mainstream in Montana.
Mainstream in Montana?
Like country stuff.
Okay, got it.
You know,
I'm
like
sorry.
The horse riding RPG.
Yeah.
And
I think that the cool teens in my hometown, I think, drank a lot of beer and shot stuff a lot. Which I also did. I like shooting stuff, but I didn't drink beer.
Did they also have really big fires for no reason?
Oh, bonfires. Every weekend, guys. Let's burn
and
some
then,
stuff.
And then they're like, what will happen if I burn this thing? I had college roommates like that, and they're like, let's put some Christmas lights in here, see what happens. And I'm like, let's not.
Yeah, that was a pretty
standard. We don't know if the plastic is toxic. What are you doing?
Well, not for me. I was home with a book, but, you know, homeschoolers, no friends. I dabble in video games, which may play into the conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't consider myself, like, a serious gamer, because I don't feel like I don't. Put in enough time or play the right games.
I don't think that there are the right games.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about it maybe. Yeah.
No, I think we can get there.
I like video games. I'm a big fan of sci-fi television. So Doctor Who.
Love Doctor Who.
Love Doctor Who. Star Trek. That kind of, I'm a, you know, space and time stuff is a big thing for me. I like Supernatural, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Oh, don't be.
I'm just confused. That show just confuses me. I watched it to a point, and then I was like, I don't know what's happening.
Well, once you get the formula down, spoiler alert, once you get the formula down, every season is exactly the same. Oh. But I still like it.
Yeah.
That's
you know,
fine.
It follows the same formula. You know where it's heading. Someone's going to die. The next season, they're somehow going to be miraculously resurrected.
That's comic books, too. So that's a tried and true formula.
It's true.
Yeah. If it ain't broke,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm a reader, but I never really got into, like, fantasy reading other than Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
So mostly television is my thing, television and movies. And I recently started playing D&D, which I love.
Yes, both of you guys. I'm fortunate enough to have both of you guys in a D&D game. Both of our groups of friends, wherever they cross over and they don't, are fantastic.
Yes.
It's just both groups are these unique, wonderful groups. And I really think, I keep thinking, I don't want to film it because it'll be a thing, but I also want to film it because it would be amazing for people to see. Really, it would be amazing for everyone to see both of the other games, because it's I'm lucky to be able to watch two different groups of people do some of the same things.
Are there,
things.
Like, as many, like, awful childish jokes in the other team?
There
yes.
are a lot
Because me and JT jokes. Kind of go off on a tangent a lot yeah, yeah, yeah. with a lot of, like, awful hand gestures.
Yeah. We have a lot. Both games have their own unique style of jokes and distractions, as it were.
I bet ours are darker.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Ours are mostly like frat boy like yes. butt jokes.
You guys like love life, and we're like, yeah. the universe is collapsing and everything's terrible.
No, at one point I made my character wear like a dead wolf's head and like run around.
Yeah.
Everyone was terrified.
That's badass, though.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It's amazing. So that's a good segue to me. I've been playing role-playing games since I was in... Maybe we started when I was in junior high. And then, you know, like 94, 95. Mm-hmm. We just got into it right away. I've been doing that. For the most part, I'm fairly classic as well. I'm into fantasy. My dad loved Next Generation, so I watched a lot of Next Generation. Other than that, I'm a Star Wars guy because I'm a magic and swords guy.
Sure, yeah.
And not necessarily a Westerns guy, which is what I think more of the space genre is like.
Mm-hmm.
And comic books. I still will veg out in trades at a comic book store, and the board game explosion has been my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
now I can have a bunch of board games and people will play it. You know, before I had to force my dad to play like Life. Like that was my board game Life.
When I was little, my brother and I got the board game Payday, and we thought it was so fun. And then we like went home one like Christmas or something, and we played it again, and we're like, this is too real. We can't play this. It's
yes.
not fun.
Yeah. Oh, good. I've lost everything.
It's
oh.
like when you're little and you're pretending to, like, cook dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what my least favorite thing to do as an adult
exactly.
is cooking dinner.
Yeah, mm-hmm. As a kid, you're like, I have this whole baking set, and it's an oven that's got a flash or a light that's strong enough that it can actually make a cake. And now you're like, if I got to make a cake, it's only because I'm going to eat it. Thank goodness
right?
I'm going to eat this cake.
You're like, I'm just going to buy a cake.
Yeah. I cook the least of really any person I know, because I cook never.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I eat out all the time. And as a kid, I didn't like eating out as much, because I don't know why. I guess maybe because it was McDonald's. And
yeah.
Kids
are picky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and if you're getting the same thing every day,
yeah.
you'd probably be like, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You're like, I hate this.
So, as a kid, I might have enjoyed an Easy Bake Oven, but now...
We didn't have an Easy Bake Oven growing up. We had the, like, creepy, crawly, make spiders out of the Easy Bake Oven thing. I think that really shaped my adulthood.
Shaped your life.
I like creepy stuff.
Easy Bake Oven is the worst name anyway, because it's not easy.
No.
Nor does it
It's not baking.
Yeah,
it's just,
yeah.
like,
it's
heating
just,
up goo
yeah,
with
yeah,
a light
yeah.
bulb.
Yeah, it's a goo warm oven. It's probably not a great seller,
yeah.
though.
But it's honest.
Goo warming.
You really have to market that, right?
It's right.
light bulb goo cooker.
Like the light bulb goo. See, that's probably the overseas selling name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Light bulb goo cooker. The counterfeit name is the light bulb goo cooker. But that kind of ties back. We tie back to what you had said about gaming, and that you didn't consider yourself a gamer because of the type of games.
Well,
and
I'll tell you why. So,
yeah.
Because when you tell people that you like video games, which I do, but I don't play them. You know, I play maybe an hour a week of video games because I have a lot of other stuff that I, you know, except Skyrim, which completely swallowed me whole twice,
and I just it's bad
every well, moment.
It's bad in the best way.
Oh, it is. Oh, it's so wonderful. But for the most part, I'm not a huge gamer. Mm-hmm. I just play when I have time and I feel like it, and it's something I enjoy doing. But you say that, especially as a girl.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Play the girl card, especially as a girl. If I say, oh, I like video games, guys are like, oh, what do you play?
Call of Duty.
If it's not on a certain list of video games,
then it doesn't count.
Yeah.
I hate
that. Yeah. The worst
part. Have you experienced that too?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I'm like, so oh, I love to play video games. They're like, do you play Call of Duty? And I'm like,
no.
No?
And then
they're like,
not a gamer.
Halo? Yeah. And I'm like, no. And then it gets even worse because they're like, well, what console do you play on? And I'm like, a PC? Yeah. And they're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You're not a real gamer.
Yeah, like, there was this list of qualifications that I missed that I don't have.
And I'm like, I have 200 hours on Skyrim. Yeah. And God knows how many hours on Warcraft.
But
and the funny thing is that gender neutrally, that in and of itself would make you a gamer on anybody's list. If you were behind a curtain, like, I put in all the hours on Skyrim. Well, that's correct as far as the gamer list. You know, like, I put in a bunch of things on an A-plus game, highly reviewed, hot A-plus game. You can't gamery it more than that, really, except those lists are made so that you don't ever fit in.
Yeah. But even I really like, because I have Steam, I really like indie games.
Oh, I love them.
So, like, I really love Child of Light, which is an indie game, and it was all, like, watercolored and very, like, stylized and really good. Mm-hmm. And I played Life is Strange.
Yes.
Those are both amazing games,
and
I've spent a lot of time on them, but they're not on the list.
I think, I want to say I feel like, at least in the mainstream gaming media, that's getting you there. Like, they're trying to deregulate bro game list, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you're still,
happens.
That happens with women in sports and women in, like, you just have to hit this list.
It's like if you say that if you enjoy comic books, they're like, we'll name all of the people in the X-Men.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you're like, one, I don't read those comics.
Right.
Yeah. And two, you do it.
Yeah. And two, no.
Like, can you do it?
Yeah. Yeah. You could flip that list around on somebody, but because it doesn't fit the...
Exactly. It's frustrating they have to qualify yourself. Like, it makes me sad that you're like, I like video games, but I don't think I'm a real gamer.
Because you are.
Because you play video games and you like them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But you get where that comes from.
I definitely do.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. And it's also like, I never said I was an expert.
Sure. You just said I'm
all.
Yeah. No, exactly.
You never said you were a comic book expert.
Yeah. No.
You said you like comic books.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you really, though?
Yeah.
How much?
Yeah.
Let me see.
I don't
Do you like the right comic books?
Yeah. And I'd love to find out, I would love to have magical powers where I could get in somebody's psyche that's like that and find out why that matters. Like, what is that you need to pull a group down?
Like, and are they, like, weirdly trying to, like, connect with you and figure out where you are on some list?
I think
so why aren't they just like, oh, what comics do you read?
It's just weird, though, because I have never seen another dude quiz another dude after he says, I like video games or I like comic books. They're never like, oh, really? Well, prove it.
Like, well, exactly.
Dudes don't say that to other dudes.
I will say this to you. There is a within a society of dudes where that happens, and I think it happened in college. When I was around mostly dudes in a dorm all the time, then you had dude-offs. Like, that also happened. You know, like we'd sit around and watch UFC, and it's like, hey, we're going to watch UFC. And then there's some guys who are like, oh, you're going to watch UFC? Well, I know MMA, and I know fighting, and you get that too. You know, there's also kind of the nerd level, and you'd have a nerd off. So it happened, but that battlefield kind of shifted to ladies. Mm-hmm. And it still, I think, happens in dude circles.
Mm-hmm. We started invading your territory.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys are just like, you can't, this is our stuff.
Yeah. And I tend to think it also happens in, I'm going to say, bro lady circles when it comes to like celebrity drama or stuff like that there's also kind of a lady off. I think there's some pieces that happens because it's a dominance thing, I guess.
I'm glad I'm not in any of those lady circles.
Yeah. I'm glad I have no circles of friends.
You have the D&D circle, and that's the best circle.
It's the only circle I need.
Except... what cleric spells do you have? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Are you a cleric in your...
She's a druid.
Oh.
Yeah, and amazing.
At one point, I had to pick more wizard spells, and I just put my head down, because I was like, I can't do it, it's too hard. You guys tell me what to do.
Oh, there are so many. How do you choose?
Yeah.
I was like, I want all of these.
Right?
Can I just have them all?
The problem that I think we had with Sarah is that Sarah's initial character was very basic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was too basic. And I knew it was. So the next step is where to go from there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no real small jump in complexity. Even the druid is like, you've got this set of things, and you have your spells, your cleric. So it's just like wizard, you're just picking a bunch of spells, and then you just got to stick them. But it's a big list of spells.
It was a big list. You know, there were a lot of cards on the table.
Yeah, yeah.
It was intimidating.
Yeah, and you got to kind of figure out what you want to do.
I'm doing better now.
No. You are doing fantastically, and it helps that I think it's a group of people that everybody is welcome.
It's
like, true. I can't imagine I hear stories. My buddy John is like, yeah, there's a Pathfinder group, and I was going to go to it, and he just didn't feel comfortable. And I'm like, if you're trying to get people to come and play, why are you going to not make them feel comfortable?
That's so sad, but I think it does happen. Yeah. It's like this, I don't know if it's competitive or what it is.
Yeah.
But people are like, you love stuff, but you don't love it as much as I do.
Yeah.
And I need you to know that you don't love it as much
because
as I do.
We're all like, okay, fine, you're right. Like, check, you win. You know?
Yeah.
How do you measure love?
Okay. And I feel like super comfortable with this group of friends to be like, explain this whole thing to me.
And then we will.
What is a Thanos?
Yeah, we'll just talk about it, and then everybody can move on. That kind of leads into the community topic, as we talk about ours. Do you guys find or even care about being in a community? And this may be a little outside of your friend zone, of the things that you like, whether it's Doctor Who or, you know, even when it's in cons or it's in things like that. Does that matter? Does that help the fandom? Is there so many bad things about it, like what we talked about, the competitiveness, that it hurts and it just makes you not want to deal with it?
Right.
I don't seek anything out really online, to be honest, for fandoms. Like, I'm in one Facebook group that is pretty, like, a geeky group, but I don't really post anything. I'm not super active. But it's nice to know that they're there if I ever wanted to post anything. But more, I've just found, like, I make friends with people and then find out that they're also into the things that I'm into, and then, like, I like that.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, seek it out. I tried to find a meetup group once when I moved here for, like, geeky girls.
Yeah.
And there was one, and they never met, and then it disbanded. I was like, oh, I'm so sad.
Aww. Yeah.
So I looked for one, but then I was like, you know, I'll just find some people. It'll be all right.
I like the idea of community, and I enjoy it at a few, I would say, events throughout the year. Like, I love going to Comic-Con and feeling, oh, that guy's wearing a Doctor Who shirt. That guy's wearing a Doctor Who shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we've all got sonic screwdrivers. Yeah. And you feel like you're in on some inside joke, and it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It really is. I don't seek it out as much other than those few big key events, just because it can be all-consuming. Mm-hmm. And some people are all consumed by it, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I like a little more balance in my life than that. So I like the idea of community. It's kind of like you said. I like knowing that it's there when I need it and I can go to it. I wouldn't say it plays a huge part of my life, but to what you were saying about, is it worth kind of the drama and the negativity? Sometimes it isn't.
Yeah.
Like, I follow the Salt Lake Comic Con group, right? And people will post, like, a little meme or something, and you're like, oh, that's funny. Okay. But it's so easy to troll nerds because people are so passionate about this stuff. Yes. There's always some joker that's like, Star Wars sucks and Star Trek is better. Just because he knows.
Maybe it's just going to blow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I get enough drama in my life without that nonsense.
True. Can we just talk about something real quick? Your Facebook friends, you have about a handful of them that cannot take a joke. And it's the most amusing thing I've ever seen in my life.
And I don't know if I can use this language, but some of them are real assholes.
Yes, and you're welcome. Matter of fact, iTunes forced me to select whether this was explicit or non-explicit, so this is an explicit show.
All right. I'm up in the language
then.
Yes, you
we're
can.
Good to go.
I thought that they listened to it and they're like, this is gonna get saucy.
It's gonna get bad.
I can just tell.
Yeah, no, I have haters on my own Facebook.
On your own
I have Facebook friend haters. That just follow me to hate on me.
It is amazing. Like, Eileen will just...
This is my life.
I blocked all those people on my Facebook, or I at least hid them so I couldn't see the stuff that they were posting because it was just bumming me out.
The problem with the comedy community, which is not a community in many ways, is that everyone, it just kind of like shit talks each other. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of the comedy culture is, I'm going to make fun of you to show that I am better than you. And so you post something on Facebook and these other comedians are like, oh, I've got to do better than your joke.
Yes.
Sometimes by shitting on you.
Right.
And it's super healthy and I recommend it to everyone.
That makes me so sad.
This is my life.
I'm sorry. Because it's so hard to build, like, a community around you that's, like, supportive.
Yeah.
And then when you have people in your community that are, like, actively trying to be assholes, like, you're like, what? I don't even know what to do now.
Yeah. That is why I haven't tried to find a community. I am lucky to have a group of friends that care about the same things I like. And anything that I'm interested in, I have a group of friends that's the sports friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I have the group of friends that's the comic book movie role-playing game friends. And that's my big, you know, my big circles of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find... And the other nice thing is that they're all have really good perspectives, so we can laugh at the community together because of the people that don't have that ability to take jokes or like you said, it's not even a negative thing. It's just there's so much passion.
Yeah.
And both of those things elicit the max level of passion. And then there's politics, which I'm out. So
I think we should just elect a horse. A horse wearing a suit.
There's a movie when we were at the theater, there's a movie about a cat. He was sitting in a suit, like Nine Lives or something.
That movie
cat
makes me sad for everyone involved.
Oh, no.
It's like got Christopher Walken in it.
Yeah.
And Kevin Spacey. And Kevin Spacey is like a dad who's really terrible. And Christopher Walken turns him into a cat.
Oh.
Until like his family decides that they love him or something.
Ooh. Oh, I saw
it. It looks so bad.
It looks so bad. And I was like, Kevin's like
all
of
that.
You have a gambling problem? Like,
and I think like
why are you making this movie?
Kevin Spacey.
Is Jennifer Garner in it?
Yes, Jennifer Garner is in it.
Like everyone in it, I'm like, you have so much more potential than to be in this terrible movie.
You know what? Sometimes they were who was it? Somebody was being interviewed about a movie. They did a movie about FIFA, and the head of FIFA was made not president because he was so corrupt and all the group was corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, FIFA did a movie about him where he was a great hero and everything at about the same time it was happening. So the guy that did it, I can't remember the actor's name, is like, yeah, it was not a good movie to do, but I have kids in college. I'm like, all right. Get it, man.
I know, but like Christopher Walken, like you've got money,
yeah.
And Kevin Spacey, you also got money.
You hope they
you
do.
You don't know how much
it's
they like
true.
Hookers. You don't know.
Probably a lot.
Hookers and coke.
Yeah, that's from all the jokey hobbies that there is. That may be the most expensive one is hookers and coke.
I've heard that coke really adds up. Hookers.
Yeah, because you'd imagine that you're spending good money on hookers. If you're going to be buying good coke. You'd imagine.
You get what you pay for.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like if you buy cheap Coke, it's probably just like baking soda. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that probably just would make your nose bleed.
It's all bad. No. It's all bad.
In a bad way.
You can't, you don't really.
In a bad
way. Like, not in a Coke way.
Yeah. Not like the regular baking soda.
Not that I know.
But if you're going to go through the process of including Coke and a hooker together, you don't want to pour hooker with your high-end Coke.
It's true.
And you don't want baking soda with your high-end hooker. You want everything to be copacetic, I think. So why were we talking about? I'm sorry.
I don't know.
It's insulting to offer bad Coke to a good hooker.
To a good hooker. If you're spending
good money. And it's wasteful
money,
to offer good Coke to a bad hooker.
Because a good hooker knows
bad
good
economics.
Coke. You're not even passing good Coke off on a good hooker that likes Coke.
If nothing else, I am going to leave here with this cemented in my mind that you don't serve bad Coke to good hookers or vice versa.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you learn anything from this podcast ever, it is when you're making your Coke to hooker ratio money.
Make sure they're equal.
Make sure they're even. Yeah, yeah. You want the balance to be correct. Okay, so let's move into the kind of the last thing I wanted to cover. It's not a super surprise because I set you guys up with this.
Yes.
But you've only had time to sit and think about it while we've been here. So
been thinking about Coke and hookers. Okay, well,
then this might put you right in line. Then.
Yes.
So, Tyreek Hill was drafted in the 5th round by the Kansas City Chiefs in the most recent NFL draft. He was kicked off of his team at Oklahoma State in 2014 after pleading guilty to domestic abuse when he assaulted his pregnant girlfriend, punched her, and choked her. I'm not sure if he punched her. I know he choked her. I'm not sure about the punching part. I don't think it matters, but if he's listening and he wants a defamation lawsuit, I don't know about the punching. Kansas City fans were fairly vocal about it. Not a lot of people liked it. Now, the kid has come out and said, I did this. I'm regretful. I screwed up. They have every right to be upset. I have to be a better person, and I'm going to be. He's in counseling. That's one of the reasons the team said that they drafted him, is that he's been in counseling. He's done everything there is to do at that point to show remorse and to show better mandom, as it were. So what do you guys think, just as not followers of sport and don't care about his athletic ability, is that enough? I mean, that 4th round draft pick is projected generally at about $450,000 in salary for a couple of years. Should he not have that opportunity? Where's the balance point? What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's two perspectives. The first is the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. It was the Chiefs, right?
Yes.
The Chiefs are looking at it as purely a business decision, right? And it's their prerogative to do so. And I think just as if he were applying for any other job, they're going to say what candidate is going to best fill the job.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fine with the Chiefs offering him whatever they're going to offer him. As a fan, though I'm not really a fan of football.
As a human?
As a fan. You know, fan being the fanaticism. This is a thing that I love.
Yeah.
I don't see how I could ever be a fan of someone who has choked out their pregnant girlfriend. Unless he has done something amazing to make up for it. And I don't mean catching a damn football.
Not football.
Or throwing a damn football. Yeah. Or whatever he does with the damn football. I don't know what position
it
catches, is.
He tries to catch footballs, yeah.
Yeah, that's not...
A balancing skill set.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. doesn't... Gotcha. You know, if he has been working and saving people from human trafficking situations, then I'm like, okay, I can get behind this kid as a fan.
Balancing but life. That
other than that, I don't support Michael Vick to this day, even though he's supposedly turned his life around. I'm like, you killed a bunch of dogs for no reason other than entertainment.
Yeah.
I don't care how many damn footballs you throw or catch or whatever Michael Vick does with football.
He throws
them. I don't know.
Yeah, he throws them.
Whatever you do around a football, I don't care.
Couldn't care less. Yeah. You're a piece of shit.
Yeah. Now, does it matter in the Michael Vick situation, like he's gone to the legislature in Atlanta and helped push a bill for helping? Is there a point when And I say that as a point within the same thing, because obviously, mm-hmm. if he gave his kidney to, you know, there's right. there's bigger mm-hmm. level things. Sure. But I mean, okay, he did all that stuff, killed dogs, and since then he's given a lot to charities, and he's where does that matter? Does it matter at all? Does the fact that you did it mean you're probably not a good person, and it doesn't really matter what you did? You got caught, now you're doing stuff mm-hmm. so you can keep your job.
He was an adult with, like, yeah. a fully formed, like, moral compass, right. and he still did it. Fair. So, fair. Like, good that he got the bills pushed through, like, right. but
yeah.
no thank you.
But also, yeah. his motives are a bit suspect.
Sure.
Exactly.
Of course. Of course. Like, yeah. He needed to do that to keep...
Yeah.
To really to be able to keep
yeah.
doing that job, you know?
And this other guy, the baby mama choker.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek. You know, he's saying the right things,
right.
but that doesn't talk is cheap, sure. and it doesn't mean mm-hmm. anything.
I agree.
And how many times have we seen and heard celebrities mm-hmm. say, "Oh, I'm really sorry about that thing," and mm-hmm. then they do it later
yeah.
again. Yep. Mel Gibson, you're a racist.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
How many times?
Well, it
many yeah. every time. Yeah. You're a racist every time.
And it's frustrating too because like this guy did it in college, and so there's some like uproar about him getting signed.
Right.
But then, like, Kobe Bryant does shit. Yeah, and people yeah. are like, Kobe Bryant, I love you. Yeah. And I'm like, really?
We have...
Like, it seems like people get outraged for, like, a second.
We do.
And then they're like, meh.
Yep. Especially when it's entertainers. Yeah. Especially mm-hmm. entertainers. Entertainers get a pass if they get away for a while. I mean, mm-hmm. the fact that Chris Brown is able to do anything after the Rihanna yeah. thing and the other things...
Yeah.
Says as much as there is to say
exactly
about the level that celebrity.
So I feel like people get like rightly outraged about things when they happen, mm-hmm. but then for whatever reason they lose interest in remembering that it was a horrible thing, and they're like, right. "Oh, you have a new
yeah.
single?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm downloading
that beat is bumping.
It's yeah. just so catchy.
Yeah.
Oh, he's such yeah. a good footballer.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what they
yeah.
call them?
Yeah, I like it. It's gonna stick. Footballer. So, is there a value, or is it something we should not do to separate the work from the person? Like, is there a certain point where you say, okay, no matter what the job is, somebody's doing a job, there's a lot of awful people, the job is getting done, even though they're an entertainer and they're making far more money, mm-hmm. whether it should even matter whether you're a football player, a ditch digger, or a, mm-hmm. you know, or a window washer, or a whatever... Mm-hmm. Do we also put more value in the job, even though ultimately it doesn't matter, but we say, hey, you're going to make $1 million playing football and you did this horrible thing. That's awful. But we don't care if, you know, somebody in our, one of the nurses in our doctor's office is a recovered something or, you know, things that may actually make more of a difference in right. our day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm. Because the truth is you're going to want the best nurse when yeah. you're when you're on the operating table,
mm-hmm.
I want the best nurse, right. regardless right. of... But yeah. I'm not necessarily going to be a fan of that nurse
no.
when I find out that she had a dogfighting
right.
ring.
Right.
I'm like, hey, cool, thanks for helping with the surgery, yeah. but you're still kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So that's why I paid you to do that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I do want to find out if somebody found out that their nurse had a dogfighting ring, though, because that would be an awesome story.
Right.
Like, yeah, look... He's a great surgeon. The dogfighting ring, not my favorite thing.
Anyway. I'm not a fan
yeah.
of his per se,
yeah.
but you know, one off, I'll right. pay for services right. when they are the most qualified.
It's
but
funny
he took
though.
My appendix out like a champ.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Right. I'm alive, so there's that. because it's very likely, I should not say very likely, it is certainly likely that there are people in those positions that make a lot of money that.
Oh, definitely.
Have craziness mm-hmm. in their life that maybe nobody even knows about. But I've always found personally that when you're a celebrity, you have to take all of the celebrity,
mm-hmm.
which means being in the public eye on a positive side is what makes you money. Takes all of the being in the public eye on
right.
the negative side.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like it was a baseball player, a very popular Ken Griffey Jr. He hated interacting with the media. He hated answering questions, whatever. But that's part of the job. If
yeah.
you just love baseball, you could go out to Liberty Park
mm-hmm.
on the weekends and play all the baseball you want
mm-hmm.
and play for the love of the game. Or you can play as a professional and make a bunch of money and be on TVs and have your house paid for and your kids' education paid for.
Exactly.
You got to answer some questions. So maybe there is something to be said for the celebrity portion maybe being harsher on the one end and then not harsher on the other end because we're crazy. We're just crazy as a society when it comes to how we deal with people in the public eye for that stuff. Positive and negative. I mean, even the way we treat people that don't, there's just normal people that just do their job. We think that we have access to their lives whenever we see them and whatever they're going through.
Like people, when I'm at lunch, are like, hey, I have an IT question for you. And I'm like, I'm eating a sandwich.
Sarah understands the celebrity.
I do. I am a local celebrity at my workplace. Sometimes I literally run in the bathroom and hide.
That's so sad.
I ran from someone today. It was amazing.
They're like calling after you down the hall and you're just like speed walking.
They probably literally were.
I
just didn't want to deal
with them. I think what you said was right, though, that it's really, when you take a position in the public eye, like a professional athlete, you're paying, part of it is that you're a product. You're a product that they're going to use to sell Wheaties and everything else. And that means you're going to get fans, and that means you have to maintain a certain public persona.
Right, right.
And because... I mean, you might be the best IT person in the world.
I am not.
And I might seek you out whenever I have a problem, but I don't have like IT cards at home where I'm like, I need two more to get this perfect set.
That's right.
Like, we don't
have I might make those.
Sarah, I mean, IT cards.
I would. I'm interested. Oh, yeah. If you know where I can get them. But, you know, it's different. The standards are different. And if you expect to have fans, then you need to be worthy of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's well put. That's well put. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We might be holding them to a higher standard, but they kind of need to be.
Right.
Because they're representing something bigger than themselves.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Just like our D&D game.
Mm-hmm. What?
Sorry. I was...
Are we representative of the D&D game?
We are.
Because I'm not doing a good job.
The Druid community is who I represent.
We do a fantastic job. Okay, I think that's probably a good chunk of time we spent here. We could sit here and talk for forever, so I would love it if you would do it again with us.
I had a great time. Thank you guys for having me.
I'm so glad you could come and join us and chat. It was so much fun, and it's the best when doing something like this is just what we'd probably do if we were sitting around anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome. So, in closing, Dr. Strange is an alligator.
He is.
That's Opinions and Other Facts, Episode 2. We're on iTunes, by the way. Mm-hmm. So please subscribe there. I don't get anything if you do, except if we ever get on the charts for some reason, then we'll be millionaires! Yay!
We'll be 100-aires. And
you'll
probably
have fans, and we'll I'll hold fans. You to a very high standard.
We had to make it not explicit anymore. Aww, that's not true. It will always be explicit.
We'll have to start replacing swear words with like, "Ah, oh, raspberry jam,"
Captain Falcon. Any last words, ladies? I mean, you're not gonna die. I just mean for the show. For the show only.
That was intimidating.
That's it. Goodbye.
No, I think you should just be nice to other nerds who might be nerdy in the same or different things than you are.
Very good.
Yeah, love what you love and let other people love stuff too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, this is for the people that watch Civil War with us. Magic babies! Bye!
Bye!